Psalm 150, friends. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. I hadn't seen that yet at Good Shepherd Savannah.
It's coming.
Thank you. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. How about that, Chip? Cymbals got twice mentioned. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Gracious Father, we know that You are good. And we know that we cannot live by bread alone. We cannot live apart from Your nourishment, apart from Your living Word to us. So open today our ears, our minds, our hearts, that we could receive and live in Your living Word, who is Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can take a seat. Y'all, if Psalm 150 were a sporting event, if this were a college football game, or if we were packed into Truist Park or another Major League Baseball stadium, this is the moment in the Psalms when the LED board would come alive and all of those lights that surround the stadium, the wraparound lights, would fire up to their brightest levels and they would say, "Make some noise." Come on. See, you would do it for the Braves, or you would do it for the Dogs, or some other of you who are... Give us another chance. Make some noise. All right, there we go. That's better. Psalm 150 is the last stop in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, y'all, it's your prayer book. If you ever are at a place in life where you don't know what to say to God or what to say for yourself, the Psalms are your book. The Psalms, somebody said it this way, the rest of the Bible is God speaking to us. The book of Psalms is God teaching us how to speak to Him. So whether you are in a place of gratitude or a place of sadness and lament, the Psalms, somewhere in the Psalms, there is a psalm for you. For times of goodness or times of grief, there is a psalm for you. Psalm 150 is like an exclamation point at the end of the whole book. Because we know that though every season of life does not end with praise and with excitement, we know that ultimately all of life will end with praise and excitement. As followers of Jesus, you know, somebody said it this way, if it hadn't worked out, it's not worked out. Right? And when we get to the end, we know there'll be an exclamation point. And so Psalm 150, at the end of the book of Psalms, the whole psalm is just telling us over and over again, make some noise. I'm not going to make you do that every time, I promise. I promise. Yo, we're wrapping up today. This is the wrap-up psalm in the book of Psalms. This is also the wrap-up of our year-beginning message series, New Year, New Word. I hope God has continued to speak to you and give you a word or words to help you guide the new year, the 2025 year. In the month of March, a little commercial, one of the things we need to know most in the world today is to understand the nature of truth. To understand the nature of truth and how we live in the world. Because let's face it, the world offers us some things that are close to truth, and they're close enough to truth that they can fool even believers, even followers of Jesus could get fooled with what the world offers that tastes like and smells like and sounds like the truth. So our March series is called Almost True. Almost True. Those things we believe that are close to the gospel, but not quite. And the ways we can learn to discern those things and live. So maybe bring somebody with you that doesn't know the Lord, and let's look together at what it means to be almost true and what it means to be really true in the name of Jesus. All right, back to Psalm 150. This is not a moment, okay? When you hear Psalm 50, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, you think, this is just too much. Right? This is just piling on, especially if you're not at a moment in life where praise comes easily, where praise comes naturally. This is not a psalm where God is raising an eyebrow at you and expecting you to gin up some kind of human exuberance, kind of to make a show of praise, even if praise is not quite in the heart. This is not what God wants from you. Praise, now hear me in this, God wants praise from you. But more than God wants praise from you, He wants praise for you. Like He wants you to be able to praise Him in a way that brings blessing back into your life. Praise, the gift of praise is not just something God wants from you, but it's something God wants you to express for your own good. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you with the gift of exuberant praise. So friends, when we hear, make some noise, when it happens in the stadium, nobody has to hold you back. So when we hear Psalm 150, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, in His mighty heavens for His acts of power, for His surpassing greatness. I mean, we don't have 50,000 people right here, but friends, isn't that enough? Praise the Lord. Some Bible translations just leave that in the Hebrew. It may be the only Hebrew word you know, hallelujah. Say that with me. Hallelujah. You go home and say, I'm a Hebrew scholar because I know. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. That's an invitation to all. When we make some noise for our team, that's like a tribal chant, right? That's like, it's only for our team. We're only going to cheer for our people. When the Bible says praise the Lord, that's an imperative command for all who hear it. Praise the Lord applies to everybody. This is, in the South, we've got this made, right? It's a plural imperative. We could translate praise the Lord as y'all praise the Lord, because it's not just you singular, it's y'all, or we could say all y'all, right? That's the worst Southern, right? All y'all, that's the heart though of this command. All y'all praise the Lord. The psalm is beautiful. It's repetitive because it's exuberant and it's ecstatic. But also notice this. This psalm is structured like music. Every song we sing, whether it's a classic hymn or something that was just written a year or so ago that we're still learning, music is structured. If music isn't structured, we don't know how to receive it. It's structured with key and notes and chord and timing. And the structure gives birth to praise, to that exuberant expression. Some of you may be dancers. Dance is also structured with positioning, timing, and choreography so that it can convey emotion and exuberance. Now, we can't force praise. I can't force you to praise any more than I can force you to like my favorite song or my favorite movie. Have you ever had someone invite you, like, oh, this is the best movie I've ever seen, and they want you to see it with them, and you sit together, and you're like, oh, I'm going to disappoint them. Because they're like so in love with this, and I'm like, it's good, but like, it's not, you've oversold that, right? I had some friends a couple of years ago, that they were so bound, they loved golf so much that they were going to teach me how to play golf. They were going to make me love golf. And we went 2-3. Oh, y'all, it was excruciating. I felt like I needed therapy after pray. I mean, some of you that play golf regularly tell me you feel like you need therapy after you play too. But I felt they were trying to make me do this. I just couldn't catch it. But the good news about praise, the good news about what God offers us when He says, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The good thing about this is He makes it possible. He makes it possible. Praise is a gift to the follower of Jesus from Jesus Himself. Exuberant praise is a gift from Jesus, who Himself fulfilled perfect worship, so that through the gospel He can offer us the gift of offering worship back to the Father. Y'all get this. Worship doesn't have to be perfect. I'm a musician myself. I started, some of you know this, my like first church gig when I was like 12 years old, I got invited by the Sunday school class, the senior adult Sunday school class in my little church I grew up in Southwest Georgia. They would gather for Sunday school, but before they had their Sunday school lesson, they would sing a hymn out of the old, some of you remember, out of the old Brown Cokesbury hymnal. And I got tapped. 12 years old. I'd go play for the, it's probably not right to say the little old ladies, but I was 12 and they were like 100, I think. And I would go play a hymn. That's right. I mean, that's old anybody, right? Yeah, that's it. That's it. But it was a gift. It didn't have to be perfect. I was still learning. And my fingers didn't always hit the right notes. But you know what? Those ladies, they loved me. They loved every moment we sang together. I think that's how God looks at us when we offer worship, any kind of worship. Whether it's a song we like or a song we don't like, whether our voices can match the pitch or not, or keep the time. The gospel of Jesus offers us the chance to live in perfect worship in our hearts before God. The ability to worship God is a gift that we receive from God because Jesus has fulfilled perfect worship. How do I get this out of Psalm 150? Number one, praise the Lord. Where? Praise God in His sanctuary and praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise God in His sanctuary. Do you remember that? The one story of Jesus that we have from His childhood, the one story of Jesus that we have, the end of Luke chapter 2, the beginning of Luke 2, that's, you know, in the days of Caesar Augustus, you remember that from Christmas Eve, right? But when Jesus is about 12 years old, there's another story, the only childhood story. It's a story about Jesus being about His Father's business, and they find Jesus where? He's lost. He's not with his family. He's not with his friends. Praise the Lord in His sanctuary. Jesus, 12-year-old Jesus, has made His way to Jerusalem alone. And He's not in the marketplace buying a snack. He's not at somebody's house laying down for a nap. Although snacks and naps are good things. He's made His way to the temple. And He's listening to what folks are saying about the goodness of the Father, and He's offering His own words of praise. How about that? Praise the Lord in His sanctuary. Jesus has fulfilled that. So when we say, where? Praise the Lord in His sanctuary, we have a place, a physical place where we come to worship. What about you? Do you have a physical place? Do you have a physical place? It may be. I mean, this is where I'm kind of old. I'm just old school. It may be passe to talk about worship attendance. But y'all, it doesn't beat. I mean, there's no way to beat being with the people of God. Worshiping God, praising the Lord in the sanctuary, the habits that you build and the habits that you build for your family when you're regularly together with God's people worshiping God. I hope you have a place at home that's a place where you worship God. But I hope you're building a pattern because it matters to others to see you here and to be present here. I hope you have a place at home to meet God for worship and for personal prayer and study of Scripture. Worship God in the sanctuary. Praise the Lord in the sanctuary. Praise the Lord in the highest heavens. I love it in the life of Jesus where there's specific moments and times when He prays and He worships. But there are also points He goes out to the unlimited places. He's in the temple or the synagogue, the kind of the bounded places. But then He's out on His own, on the edge of the mountain, the edge of the lake, where He can get away from people and be alone, and He can pray, and He can seek God, and if He needs to, He can make some noise, right? I don't know how much noise He made. But don't you think going off alone just for the purpose of worship. Now, Jesus, would He go sit in a deer stand? Yes, He would sit in a deer stand, I think. But Jesus wasn't going out to fish or to hunt. He was going, and then worship was kind of like, oh yeah, maybe it'll happen if I think about it. He actually was going with the sole purpose. With the sole purpose of focusing his heart and his mind on worship. Our Father in heaven. We can worship. Our worship is not limited to geography, to buildings or places, but our worship is wherever we can perceive that greatness, wherever we can receive that gift, the gift of the Spirit for exuberant worship. You can worship anywhere, whether you do or not, that's up to you. You can worship anywhere, whether you do or not, that is up to you. But Jesus showed us the way to praise. Why? Verse 2, Jesus helps us on this. If you still got your Bible open, praise Him for His acts of power and praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Y'all, Jesus did that. Jesus fulfilled that because Jesus demonstrated God's power in all that He did and so invited praise to God. There are a million places in the Gospels where we can talk about Jesus displaying the power of God. I'm gonna pick Luke chapter 8. That's your homework assignment. Go Luke chapter 8. Bam, bam, bam. Stories of desperate people. Desperate people whom Jesus met, where Jesus revealed acts of God's power. Luke 8 begins with an isolated man, a man on the fringe of society. He is so far gone, he's actually living in the edge of a cemetery. He's oppressed by demons. He's harming himself repeatedly until Jesus shows up and changes the trajectory of his life. Nobody else could do anything or would do anything for him, and yet Jesus shows up with the power of God. And there's deliverance. There's a woman who's been sick for 12 years. She's been defrauded by quack doctors. She's so desperate and so afraid, she wouldn't even stand in line to ask Jesus directly. She wanted to crowd in behind Him. Have you heard that story? She wanted to crowd in behind Jesus. And she said, I don't even have to talk to Him. All I want to do is touch the edge of His cloak, of His robe. If I crowd up and just touch the edge of His cloak, that'll be enough. And y'all, it was enough. It was enough. For God's power to work through Jesus, it was enough that Jesus stopped and said, the Bible says He felt power flow out from Him. And He stopped. And He turned to His disciples and He said, hey, who touched me? Who bumped into me? And the disciples are like, we're in a crowd of hundreds of people. Everybody bumped into you, brother. What are you asking about? But He knew that something had happened. Jesus displayed the power of God. And it was Jairus, the synagogue leader. His only daughter was dead. And he didn't know everything. I don't think his faith was fully developed, but he knew enough to know that Jesus somehow was an agent, a representative of the power of God. And if he could get to Jesus and get Jesus to his daughter, then something would happen. At the end, the disciples are in turmoil in the storm on the lake. And Jesus once again reveals his power. These acts of power are great, but greater than the acts of power. Because there's some of you in here, you've heard a prayer answered, you've seen the miracle. And so you're like ready, praise the Lord, praise Him for his mighty acts. And then there's the rest of us who are waiting, and maybe we've made some prayers, but we haven't yet seen the result. And so this is for you. The acts of power are great. Let's praise Him for His acts of power. But the acts of power point beyond the acts of power to the nature of God as a person. Here's what it says. Praise Him for His acts of power and praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Don't just praise Him for His acts, for what He's done, but praise Him for His very heart, for His goodness, for His kindness, for His patience with you and with others. And when you see that patience in God, praise Him for His surpassing greatness. He is more patient with me than I deserve. He provides for me more than I can imagine. Yes, praise Him. When we make the sale, or when we get the dividend, and when we know things are rosy, yes, praise Him for what He's done. But even while we're waiting, praise Him for what He's done when He's brought healing. But when we're still praying and waiting, praise Him for His nature. You know what this is like in human relationships. You can praise your child or your spouse or your parent. You can say, thank you for doing this. Thanks for buying that car. Thanks for making that meal. Thanks for, you can fill in the details, but it's something else to affirm someone for what their character is. I'm thankful, baby, that you are so patient. I'm thankful that you're consistent. Whether I'm up or whether I'm down, you are reliable. Speak to your kids. Yeah, I'm glad you got that good grade, but even more than that, I'm thankful for the character. I'm thankful that you hit the books day by day and you don't give up. You're persistent. And even if you made a 76 instead of a 96, I know you worked. And that reveals something about your heart and your character. We can affirm other people for their character and their giftedness, not just for the job well done. We can also praise God for His character, for the nature of God. And when we get that, when we recognize that we praise God for His character, that sounds a little abstract. But when we get it, that we praise God for who He is, I think it becomes easier to receive worship as a gift, to receive the gift of worship that we offer back to God. We praise Him for His wholeness and for His justice, for His healing, His ability to heal mind and body and relationship. We praise Him for His sovereign grace, the fact that His hand is over every aspect of our lives, whether we know it or not. Praise Him with sounding of trumpet. This is the funnest part. That's not a real word. The most fun part. This is the most fun part. Praise Him for the sounding of trumpet and harp and lyre, timbrel, dancing, strings and pipe, clash of cymbals, resounding cymbals. Now I don't have any evidence from the Scriptures that Jesus was a worship leader or a church musician or a singer of any sort. But it reminds me, this reminds me, the breadth of the instruments that are mentioned remind me that all of human life can be used to worship. You don't have to be a singer. You don't have to be a musician to respond to what is heard and tune your heart to praising God. What we hear, what we see, to use your body, the kinesthetic, we said, I got a promise out there that the dancing was coming. But what we do with our bodies, whether we stand, whether we, there's memes that make fun of Christians about the way we, lift one hand or two hands or, hands out like this. And it's not all about the hands. But sometimes our hands can express our worship towards God, our willingness to receive from Him or surrender to Him. I talked a couple of weeks ago about the different postures of prayer, whether you're sitting or kneeling or standing, lifting hands, coming forward, even lying prostrate, face down before the Lord. What we do with our bodies are expressions of worship. And of course, what we see the instruments, the cymbals, the dancers, we see the ferns and the paint and the order of the worship space, and they all bring us to a place of worship. The point here when we mention trumpets and lyres and dancing and pipes, the point is we hold nothing back. We hold nothing back. Make some noise. We hold nothing back in offering ourselves completely to the Lord. Finally, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The Lord. I was walking the other morning with my dog, walking down to the bluff, and it was one of those mornings, just at twilight, and the trees were full of birds, and the sound was overwhelming. I had to take my phone out and video and capture it, because it was just so many birds and so many sounds, and it makes me think of that verse, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I love it when the Bible talks about breath. I love it when the Bible talks about breath. Because it reminds me of creation. God breathes into us the breath of life. That's my favorite creation image. And God reaches and He shapes the dirt and He breathes into us the breath of life. It's a reminder that we can't do it by ourselves. Praise is not something we create and then offer to God. We praise because God breathes on us. He breathes on us. Without the gift of God, without life in Christ, salvation, without the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can never worship. And it's Jesus again who fulfills this and makes the way for us. Because Jesus gave up His breath on the cross. Friends, it's not enough that at creation the Father breathed on us. In that last moment of His death, Jesus sighed a deep sigh and He gave His breath, His final breath in sacrifice. So that your connection with God would be such that you could breathe a breath of praise back to Him. We don't often think about the cross when we think about exuberant worship. But the cross is the place where God's act of power most perfectly demonstrates His surpassing greatness, where we see most clearly His character of love and His mercy. The cross is a different sort of exuberant worship. When we see how far Jesus went, how much it took to restore us to relationship with God, to have our lives put back in alignment, so that we could ever offer a gift of praise. And the cross and the resurrection, thereafter the resurrection, Jesus once again gathers with His disciples and again breathes His breath on them in forgiveness and in witness. The breath of Jesus rehabs them and remakes them and rebirths them as individuals and as a church. Jesus gets Pentecost out of order. I mean, the Spirit's not supposed to come for another few weeks. And there's Jesus in the upper room. And He's saying, receive the Holy Spirit. He is so ready to give it, He doesn't care what order He gives it in. Receive the Holy Spirit. And we receive, ultimately, I believe, we receive the Spirit in the same way that Jesus gives it. We receive it by surrender. Jesus surrendered His breath on the cross, and we receive the gift of the Spirit when we surrender to God's work. So with hands open to receive, with hearts open to experience, ears open to hear, and lungs open to have the breath breathing on us again, we'll make some noise. And our lives will be disrupted, and our lives will be disruptive. Because we're making noise for the Lord. Friends, right here, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You realize it's not just everything that has breath, it's everyone that has breath. Look around and see who's missing. Not just the folks you thought were coming, but their alarm clock didn't go off or they slept through it. But look around to see the people who are missing, who don't know yet that God is offering them the chance at new life, the chance to worship. When we hear the psalmist say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, there's right there, that's all the evangelism encouragement you need, because there are some who have breath but aren't praising the Lord. We know Jesus fulfilled that too, didn't He? He put His hands on His disciples. He said, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you, and I will be with you. My breath will be with you from now to the end of the age. Jesus opened the door that everyone who has breath would praise the Lord. And so there's our challenge, friends. If we say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, make some noise, we have a gospel imperative, a witness imperative, to let our breath be used to bring everyone that has breath to praise the Lord as well. Y'all, some questions. The band can come on up. Where are you? There you go. A subtle gesture. Just come on up. So if he says, praise God in the sanctuary, where's your place? Where is your place for worship? Is it a place that's comfortable, or are you able to find a place whether you're comfortable or not? And are you willing to embrace a life that is beyond comfort if that's the place you need to be to worship the Lord? Where is your place? What is your why? What is your reason? The psalmist says, all of his works, all that he has done, we praise him for what he's done. We praise him for who he is. I'm going to tell you, be clear about what God has done for you. Be clear, not just in general, but be clear in case you have a chance and somebody asks you, why do you even go to church? What's the 8:40? That's early on Sunday morning. Why do you go? Do you have an answer? This is why I praise the Lord. Because I know He's acted this way and His nature is this way to me. What does it tell you about God's character? What do you really know? Not just know in your head, but deep down know. Because if you're going to make some noise, praise Him for His acts of power, you've got to know it, not just up here. You've got to know it deep down in your being. What's your why? Why do you praise the Lord? What are the acts of greatness He's done, and what is His character for you? What's your sacrifice? Jesus has done it on the cross, right? We've said this. We're not trying to gin up anything or perform anything. Jesus has fulfilled your worship, but He's also invited you as an act of worship to take up your own cross and follow Him. And maybe your place of worship is simply to take that first step to say, yes, Jesus, I trust You. I put my faith in You as Savior and as Lord. And you know you hadn't taken that step. And no other step, friends, let's be honest, no other step really matters until you've taken that first step. Then who's your everyone? Look around. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. There is an everyone. And you have traction in their lives. You have influence in their lives. You have witness in their lives. And they're not yet praising You. They're not yet praising the Lord. And you've been given an assignment. Who's your everyone? So make some noise. Make some noise with your words. Make some noise with your heart. Make some noise with your witness. Because the beautiful thing about worship is that it doesn't depend on how we feel. It depends on how we trust. How we trust God. So, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Make some noise. Let's pray together. God, we love You and we're thankful that through Jesus You invite us to a life of praise. Give us grace. Give us of Your Spirit that we can make some noise. And Father, give us courage today to acknowledge that, to take a step further in the life of praise, in the life of faith. In Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, you know, there'll be prayer, folks. I'll be on this side. There'll be part of our prayer team on this side. If you'd like to pray and secure some decision in your life as you walk forward, making some noise in the life of praise.